You, me.
We're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types. These are practical conversations about real-life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry. In this conversation, we talk about our wounds with each other, referencing human design wounds and our natal Chiron wound, as astrology is part of the human design language.
Okay, so wait, Jasmine.
Yeah.
Were you shitting your pants when the episode came out and you're like, polyamory?
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. literally, it was driving to get pizza and with my lover. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. And he looks, he's like, is something wrong? I'm like, oh, I think. And then, yeah. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm good because I said all that stuff. So,
Then she updated her Instagram profile, just like owning it.
I did.
Saw that.
Yeah, I did.
Saw that. Fucking loved that.
Yeah.
But Jasmine, the way you talked to us, Jasmine, I already thought it was like, yeah, common knowledge. Oh. Like,
yeah, no.
And you're just like, yeah, this is, you know, like I've talked about my foray to polyamory and this is just what's right for me. And I was like, oh shit, she owns it. That's hot. I'm into that. She's confident. And then after you're like, holy shit. Yeah. That's on a podcast. And I was like, what?
As I was saying it during the podcast, I felt like, oh, wow, you're really just loose right now. You're just letting it out.
Yeah, just own it.
But then I'm like, well, it is who I am. It's what I'm doing. So got to fucking go with it.
Yeah. It is who you are.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not.
No, like it's not bad at all. But it is, you know, like when you're dealing with other people and they're, I don't know. Yeah. I worry. I'm a person who worries, not necessarily about judgment, because I kind of do whatever I want to do, but I worry about people's feelings being like other people's feelings being hurt by things that I'm doing. And so sometimes I get a little caught up in that jam, but whatever.
AC, what is that? Why are we feeling that, AC? Like everything she said, like I relate to that so hard. Sorry, I'm upset.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's sure. When you cry. It's hard because when we finally like accept our truths about ourselves, the crossfire is other people not accepting it. And of, you know, you talking about you hurting people's feelings, I think that's more of, it's almost like, and I heard somebody say this on a different, it was on a live somewhere about how when you don't show up as yourself in a way that you're a manipulator because you are trying to make people buy into the version that you're selling them. So you're manipulating them. So when you finally stop manipulating people with showing up as yourself, you think all of the things like, oh my gosh, I'm going to hurt them because they had different expectations of me based off of what I've been presenting. So for you, Jasmine, you didn't want to hurt people because it was such like a hidden thing of you not wanting to tell the world like, hey, I really like this polyamory shit. Like, this is my lifestyle. It fits for me. And so now it's like, yeah. And it's like, okay, this could hurt people because they know me as not being polyamorous Jasmine. They just know me as being Jasmine who has the great life with her three kids and she's fun and free. And now it's like, huh.
Right. And you know, also, so, there's always this sense because I'm a changer. I changed my mind a lot and I think I've just gone through my life like going, okay, this is a new version of me. This is a new version of me. And so I sometimes get caught up in this feeling of, oh gosh, I'm going to do this thing. And then what if I say, oh, I'm polyamorous. And then in 2 years, I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm not doing that anymore. I'm doing something else. And then people are like, what in the world is going on with you? It's not. But no, it's just a totally made up thing, but I have the thing. So it's definitely like in my shadows. I have to work on it a little bit.
Yeah, I relate to you so hard.
And what's coming up
I relate
for
to you so hard for that, because my manifestor wound is like, I'm realizing, I'm sorry, I'm so upset about this.
No, be upset.
I'm like having a tough day today. And I'm realizing like so much in my business, this really beautiful business that I really love. And I'm caught in all these areas where I'm trying to be a generator still. And
mm-hmm. We had a long conversation.
Oh shit, AC. So I was like, AC, what are you doing? You're not a generator. You can't be. I know. And right. So what that conversation did for me was help me realize so many areas where I'm trying to be so consistent because of, you know, for the other, to show up for the other. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a meeting with my assistant this morning, and she's, you know, saying to me, like, I feel bad for her. Like, we'll make a plan and then I'll change the plan because it doesn't feel good anymore. And how is she supposed to even keep up with me? And so my manifestor wound, and maybe manifesting wound for Jasmine, is that like it changes. And then if you feel bad that everybody else has to like catch up with you, and what's she going to fucking change again?
What are you doing this week? Right. Like, what are you doing to you?
And then it's like, okay. And you keep yourself small, even though I feel like my manifestor wound is like shame and feeling bad and guilt for being authentic.
Well, don't feel like that. You made me, you got my shit together over the weekend when we were texting.
Yeah, because I just bully you via text. I know.
No, it wasn't that. It was just more of, because we are non-sacral energy centers, that's real. Like me doing something, like for instance, the aura affirmations, they were killing me.
Yeah, I guess.
As simple as it was, I did them every day, 5 days in a row, Monday through Friday, for 9 months.
Yeah.
That was killing me. I mean, and then I would feel like horrible for not showing up on one day. And then it was like dragging me down. And when I took my break at the beginning of the year, I was just like, I can't do this no more. Like, I have to let, because it was just too much. And then the pressure. So it was just like, because our society tells us, you know, consistency is key, and that those are the people who win, and yada yada, this, that, and the other. But there is literally some days, especially I know Vanessa can relate, where I just don't have the energetic capacity to push out something. And it's as simple as it, I don't even know how it's triggered, but just emotionally, energetically, it just doesn't feel good. And I can't. And so our conversation, just a peek inside our text messages, I was, you know, saying to her, well, how then do I show up and then create a financially sustainable life for myself when I can't be consistent with certain actions? And so that's what we were talking about. And so, because for you two, you guys can, you know, run and do and, you know, plan and, you know, do all the things. Sometimes it's a challenge for us, like a debilitating challenge.
Yeah. I'll make a plan and it's a total waste of my fucking time, because when that plan, it comes time to put that plan in place, that's not what it's going to be anymore. And then not only have I wasted my time, I've wasted everybody's time with me. So how the hell do you build a business? You know, you have to kind of catch it. You have to realize you're not designed to operate that way. And what I'm realizing about the way I'm doing certain things is that I'm still operating as a conditioned manifestor, trying to be a generator, and I haven't even realized all the ways. And then a new little way leaks out. And it's like, yep, you committed to doing that. You're going to hate yourself in 2 months for that, when you run out of energy for that. And so something Rachel said to me was like, you know, maybe figure out when it's time to create and do, and when it's time to delegate. And Rachel, that changed my life when you said that, because it's like, now certain things come up and I say, is this important to me? Yes or no? Okay, it is. Does it need my energy, or can I delegate it? Because I actually don't think people have a clue just how much I do, because a lot of it is done privately with my hermit in my profile. I'll just go away and I'll be doing a shit ton of stuff. And it's kind of strange for me as the person who operates that way, because I'll give myself 30 tasks to do. And if I catch myself on the right day, I'll do 31. If I catch myself on the wrong day, I'm doing 0, and I'm actually throwing out all those 30 tasks. It's like, there's no, like, no in between. So when I'm trying to do something or create or be creative, maybe is the word, when I don't have an urge, it will completely demotivate me, demoralize me with the whole thing that I've tried to do in the first place. And then I won't get any of it done. And then I'm caught in that sort of shame spiral. People are expecting this of you. People, you know, people are counting on you. You can't change all the time. How can they keep up with you? You're bad. You're awful. It just kind of creates that. Even though, you know, intellectually know that to not be true, that's still the inner narrative that starts to all of a sudden play on a fucking loop. And so, Jasmine, when you're saying this, and I was just like immediately, it's like what I'm dealing with right now. And you spoke to it, and I'm like, yeah, unraveling, because I'm struggling with that specifically right now.
I have a question though. Is anyone actually consistent in that way that we all think we should be? Because I'm a generator and I'm not convinced that I am either.
I know a lot of consistent people in my life.
Are they conditioned
who are generators?
I am not consistent.
Yeah. They are probably conditioned, but they also, a friend of mine who's a generator, she can just get it done. And she does push through a lot, but the consistency that she pushes out is very aspirational, because, you know, it's almost like, wow, that's awesome. You can just do that and get it done with. And for me, it's kind of just like looking at it from a, she does work within her, I guess, power surges, but she produces so much within them that it is kind of like envious. Like, damn, you got all of that done? And she was like, yeah, I just felt good, you know, kind of thing. Know. And so
I don't know though, like manifestor perspective on that. If there's a task in front of me, like I have a defined heart. I can push through absolutely anything and get it done sincerely. And that is what the defined heart is dangerous, because you all of a sudden you have decided and you've got the energy. Doesn't matter what your energy type is. You'll push through and you can get it done.
I don't have
and
one.
Nine out of 10 times. For me. But that's 9 out of 10 times we'll be burnt out. That's what will burn us out.
I don't have a defined heart. So yeah.
Oh, it's just like, if I decide and it's not feeling good and I'm spinning my tires, but I've decided and I'm going to get it done because I got to get it done. It's going to get done and it'll get done in 24 hours. Maybe like it might like literally might take me 24 hours to do it, but it'll still get done. And I'll be up all night and I'll pull an all nighter and it'll be done. And I'm exhausted for 3 months after from that one output.
I have a defined heart and I can do things like I can push through things that are task oriented. If it's just a rote thing that I have to do, or I always like to say, I'm going to muscle through this. Like I'm just going to like grin and bear it and get it done. But I cannot do that creatively. That can never, that does not work for me creatively. If I'm not like actually like in it, like my heart's not in it, or my sacral's not like pumping towards that or being magnetized towards it, forget it. I'm not doing it.
That's fascinating. Cause like tasks, no way in hell can I finish that. Creative task, muscle through it, absolutely I can. But my sacral's open, which is my creative center.
Yeah.
You know? Interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah, I can get my tasks done. Like I have my like,
oh my God, AC. Thing. How many things are on that?
But no, it's just for the week. So it's for the whole next 7 days. So
I don't either.
Yeah. I have to, because nothing will get done. So I have to have a reminder of, so it's maybe about 10 things on here. But sometimes they don't all get done, but it's okay. It's just like, oh, I need to get that done.
Yeah. Rachel, define sacral, open heart. Do you make what's your process? Do you make tasks? Do you make lists? Do you muscle through it? What do you do?
I don't even know how to answer that question at this point, because it's something I've been thinking about a lot this last week when I realized, so I just did a launch for a course, which I don't know. I think I've learned that I don't ever want to do that again, because I'm also not, I also feel like I can't plan, and I'll put a plan together and then like my sacral energy, it's like defined root, defined sacral. Like it's so stubborn. If it doesn't feel like it that day, it has its own timing. And like the timing I've made up in my head is completely irrelevant. And so that's when I will burn out. So like I totally burned myself out the last 3 weeks because I set these like 3 specific deadlines for myself. And so I'm just realizing And I definitely pushed myself through probably with the completely open heart, feeling like I had to deliver for people.
Totally.
I also have I have a 1-3 profile. So that 3 kind of gives me a little bit of flexibility. Like I made it through and like, I'm happy that I did it because I think I needed to do it to just know I don't need to do it again. So it's not like it all imploded, but I definitely burnt myself out. And I think I'm just realizing moving forward, I never want to set a deadline on a creative thing ever again. It's just, I'll do it and then it'll come out when it's ready. So I don't know. Who are these people who can plan?
I feel like I historically was a phenomenal planner. It's just, I have to know my boundary. I have to know what is worth planning and what is needs that open freedom, creative magic time, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like it's,
yeah.
I know what, no, it makes sense. So TMI, I'm going through something personally.
Yes, Stacey, let me know your whole life. I'm dying to know.
I'm going through something personally with a consultant client of mine. And I'm realizing that it is starting to become very unhealthy. And so I have to make a decision soon on whether or not I'm going to continue, because I am... I only consult with them a small chunk of time, and I have another big chunk of time to work on, you know, my other businesses, but I'm starting to, the energetic pull and the drain that I'm experiencing from this particular client has me not even motivated creatively at all to do anything on my other days.
Totally understand. And
so that is starting to be a problem. Because I have to choose myself, and that is really hard. Mm-hmm. That's becoming hard because I know my track record, and my track record is not consistent in a lot of things. So that makes me scared. How we were talking about that, you know, you're like, we're not meant to be consistent. It's like, well, great, but I know at the first of the month I have to pay these consistent bills.
Rent is consistent, so
right, yeah, 100%. So how do I show up in an inconsistent manner, knowing that I need consistent things to happen in my life? So that's where the contrast is coming in right now, and it's been very challenging because it's like, okay, everything that I teach is for people to trust, and I've been doing that as well. I'm going to have to trust, and I've already made the decision. I'm not going to announce it here. We'll mm-hmm. talk about it in another podcast, mm-hmm. but it's about trusting, and I'm happy with myself, and I read something, well, Abraham Hicks. I love Abraham Hicks. Some people think, you know, she's problematic sometimes, whatever. I get it. But she said, once you align the energy first, then take the action. And that just like really changes. So I've been aligning my energy before I take the action. I already know the decision, but before I take the action.
That's such an interesting process. Yeah, it makes total sense. It's such an interesting process. I really want to know how many jobs you have though.
Technically.
I need you to like lay it out for me. Like what's job one? What is it?
So my consulting stuff.
What do you consult?
So I help mid-sized to large businesses with business development, sales, stuff like that. So that's consulting there.
Okay.
Because I have a sales background.
Massive business. Okay. You're a consult for professional businesses. Gotcha. Okay. Your next business.
And then I have my product-based business, which is Goodnight Darling.
So you make products and sell products, a whole separate business. Okay, got it.
Great. And then I have my personal brand, AC Brown, where I do my human design, my spiritual self-development stuff. And that's it. So just three.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Just three jobs. Three mm-hmm. jobs.
Three jobs. Full-time jobs. Okay. Okay. So three I don't jobs. Know. I don't know how you're doing it. It's Okay. Through the grace and of you God. Like, yeah. And you're like, and I, here's my rhythms with my dogs, and my dogs are on this special dog food. And we go for these walks at these set times, and my dogs are royal. And I'm just like, I don't even understand how you have the energy. How many hours do you get in a day? Because I don't have that many.
Hi, generators. It's Rachel. I have a tip for you. If you're ever having a really hard time connecting to your sacral response, make sure that you're feeling safe. We really can't expect ourselves to connect to our joy if we're feeling threatened or unsafe or anxious. So in those moments, ask yourself, what can I do to help myself feel safer and better equipped to make this decision? And then do whatever that is.
Can I, I'd like to poke at each person to talk about what their wound is specifically. Now you can do this from a Chiron perspective. You can do this from an energy type perspective. You can do this from a gender perspective, whatever, but I kind of want to just make some space to talk more intimately about everybody's wounds and to use energetic awareness about them. Rachel, would you start us off with that?
Sure. I was thinking about that this morning. I would say I have three main ones. I'm also a Virgo moon, so this is how I talk about my feelings. they have been highly analyzed over the years. I would say the first one is just feeling like a victim in the world. There's probably many places where that stems from. And it manifested in a lot of different ways, consciously and unconsciously. And I guess it was just basically feeling like I had no say over my own destiny, or that things were conspiring against me, and also just not really valuing myself and not having boundaries. Those all kind of went hand in hand. And
your Saturn is in Sagittarius, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Boundary lesson. Okay. And your Chiron is in Gemini.
Yes. So I would also,
generator.
Yeah. I would also say that that like victimhood wound is very related to that Chiron in Gemini, because I never felt that I could speak my truth, or that I could just like say the thing I was thinking. And I remember the day that it occurred to me that I could say the thing. And that was just, it lit, like it blew my world open.
What was that?
So with my current partner, we were together because we connected and we felt this really intense connection, but then we were apart because our lives just really weren't at a place to be together at that point. But we worked together in the same room, and he was kind of just messed up in this drama and stuff in his own life. And I was one of the few people that knew about what, like the totality of what was happening to him. I was kind of his only like confidant in that way. But it, for some reason, it took me like 2 years to realize that I just never said to him, this is fucked.
Yeah. What?
You need to be done with this. I thought that that was implied, but it obviously wasn't implied, because he was living it and he kind of knew it wasn't right. But like, I just never said like, look, like you are, this is so wrong. This is so wrong for these reasons. Like, this is just so wrong. And I also consider us twin flames. So it makes sense. It's like, we were there to, like, there was a lot of energy dynamics going on to like reveal these things in us. So finally, I went to work one day, and we had switched seats where we'd moved to a different office before I could avoid him. For the most part, we sat on opposite ends of the room, and we would like exit a different way so I could kind of like forget he existed. And we moved seats, and I had to walk past him just to get out, to go to the bathroom, to do everything. And that day, I went home and I dry heaved because there was just something like so intense about that energy and like my lack of confronting it, that I just was like,
wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like vomiting up like an energy demon. And that
open throat shit, hey?
Yeah. Oh, bad throat shit. So that was, I had to like, I sat down with myself and I was like, this is the end of it. Like I've been a victim this whole time. How did I not realize this? And I like stayed up till 3 a.m. and literally like had contractions. Like I birthed out like a new self or something. It was wild.
Wow.
And the next day I like went off on this journey where I asked him to come to a coffee shop, which he still won't go to because it was so traumatic. I love this coffee shop. And I just told him exactly what I thought about everything he was doing and all the problems that I saw with it. And he got mad, but then he changed. And then within like 6 months, we were together. Mm-hmm. So that is very indicative of those wounds. And
the Gemini and Chiron wound, you said a major thing for me because I have a lot of Gemini Chiron wound people in my life. And a lot of them, I think, just witnessing you now, assume what they think is known by the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no idea, but there is that wound of like, can't speak my truth or not. I'm not going to be heard. I'm not going to be received. We are never going to hear you if you don't speak it.
Exactly. It was like mind blowing. I was like, how did I not get that? Why did I never just say it? I was like, I didn't want to offend or I didn't want to step on someone else's toes. Like, but he,
or they'll be mad at me.
Exactly. But yeah. Like he needed that. Like he needed it. Literally changed his entire life and his son's life. It was like the turning point.
Wow. I want to just poke for a second here on everybody because I actually think we each have a different Chiron here. So we can speak to a really large generation of people. Jasmine, did you confirm if you're Aries?
I am. Yes.
So can you tell me how you think that wound plays out? And I also want to hear AC's opinion on it too. How you think the Aries wound plays out for you?
Well, I think I need a little bit more backstory on the Aries wound. I think the thing that I gather from it is that it's like a childhood wound, right?
Well, I suppose you could say any Chiron wound is something that usually happens in childhood. But if you're just putting it through the lens of Aries, Chiron is the wound that you're carrying your whole life. And when it comes through the lens of Aries, there's usually a doubt in the self or lack of this, can't self-motivate or was not motivated or encouraged or given enough attention sometimes as a kid. But sometimes, you know, in extreme cases, there's some type of abuse or violence even in the youth, or it could be emotionally abused or spiritually abused or physically abused. Like it could be a pretty intense fucking wound.
Right.
But it's usually what it has done is the person doesn't really always have the ability to feel brave enough to do what they actually want to do.
Right. Yeah. So I would say that as a child, I grew up with my mom is Caucasian and Native American. My dad is Black. And I grew up in this, you know, I'm born in the 70s. My parents were not married. My grandmother did not want me to be her first grandchild because of how I looked, because I had a Black father. But then I grew up, I was this little kid who was super precocious and beautiful. And that was my thing. So I think my wound probably was that I learned from a very young age that to be that way was what I was here for. And to be quiet and to be good. Sorry, that makes me feel sad.
Why?
Well, because it sucks to... It sucks to feel special for something that you really don't have anything to do with. And I'm also, I think as a 2-4 person, I'm a hermit. I never wanted to be a spectacle. And I was. And sorry. I was really uncomfortable as a child. And then I was simultaneously really, really intelligent kid, but I learned as by like middle school that, oh, I got to do what works. So let me do what works. And what worked was not to be a super smart kid. I just decided I'll just do this other thing. And I think that probably like my biggest life regret, which I don't really think I have any big life regrets, but this is something that I think that I carried through my whole childhood, is that I rested on my laurels of just being a pretty person and not really like digging into who I was, because I just didn't think it was worthwhile or that anyone cared.
So every time I'm pumping your tires and like, Jasmine, you're so hot. You're like the hottest shit. Does that exacerbate that wound?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think now that I'm the age I am, and that I am, I don't know. I mean, I've done so much work on myself. It's really kind of funny to me that this is like making me cry, but,
I love when people cry over shit like this, 'cause this is something that's obviously super deep that needs to come out, and otherwise it's festering.
Right. Like, and it's always cathartic to cry, but I think that now that I'm older, it's kind of fun to be pretty, and it's fun. I'm like, oh, I'm definitely not a person who's ever like wanting to be a spectacle of any sort. In terms of how I look, but I think it was probably more about being different in my family. So I had this, I had my dad's side of the family who I would just go see in the summers, and they were always like, I was a spectacle. I was like a science experiment to them. I looked different than they did. I had really long hair. And so it was just, and I was from the north, and my family's from Arkansas. And so then they would kind of like make fun of the way I spoke, and then make fun of me because I had a white mom, and like all of this, it was intense. And then I would go back home, and I would just be, we were like lower middle class, but then I'd be with all these kids, no black kids at all, really. And I was a cheerleader, and I was just living this very like Midwestern suburban jam as the only person of color, really. And so it was just, I was just like always like having an out of body experience, you know, and doing like funny things like not wanting to leave the lunchroom table because I was so sure that all of those girls would like talk bad about me when I left, you know. So I'd be like holding my pee for 7 hours during the school day, you know, just things that you do in middle school or, you know, whatever. And then, so now I feel like I've done so much work on myself that I can't even believe that I was that person or I was that kid, you know, but yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to think
you have an Aphrodite altar.
I do. I love it. And listen, I tell my girls all the time, how smart they are and how brilliant I think they are. And I actually had to catch myself because like, I don't think I ever tell them that I think they're beautiful. I don't like ever even say it because it's not like a thing that I want them to associate themselves as, unless it's and both, you know, it's all the things. And so I've had to start a practice of like telling them like, oh, I think you look so beautiful, you know, or whatever. I think you look adorable, or, you know, affirming them in that way. But I don't know. I think that's probably.
This is a tricky thing in our culture, hey, because, you know, women have been so celebrated and, you know, beauty has been prioritized at the top level. That's all that we should care about. That if you're not pretty, it's just shoved down our throats constantly. And then I resonate with you in that you kind of throw that out because then you feel you have to prove yourself the other way, and you forget that you're also still allowed to be beautiful.
Yeah. You can be that.
Or tell your kids they're beautiful, mm-hmm, and not just intelligent. It's still a nice thing to hear. It's just not the only thing we should be hearing.
Right. And I think also, I mean, we're not these fractured, you know, these fractured beings, you know, holistically, you can be a million things. You can be all of the things. And I think for me growing up, there wasn't room. And for me being a woman of color in a world that is like where I lived was pretty white, you know, pretty like standard white bread America. And I was like, I just need to fit in. Like, I just need to do whatever it is that I need to do to just get through this, survive, and just be okay. So like being the smart kid was like, no, that's not happening. Like, yeah, I'm going to be dumbing this situation down ASAP. So, and survival mode. So I think that's probably it.
You're in survival mode.
That's my wound in a nutshell.
So that's it. That's my wound.
And I think that I thought maybe I was kind of done with that wound, but maybe not. Maybe not. That was a lot of tears. for a wound that you're done with. But
I don't think we're ever done with Chiron. I don't think that's a wound that goes away. It's just one that changes as we mature, changes, it evolves with us. That's kind of, I think, the point of this wound. I think it's so important to reflect, just like you did, because I want you to know how powerful that was, what you just did.
Oh, thank you.
To witness you doing that, I was incredibly moved and quite frankly, just absolutely devastated listening to you talk about that.
Thank you.
So I think it was very powerful that you got it out, but I think it's a wound that will, it's important to look back at it like that and understand it so you can note patterns, because that wound's going to be with you forever. And now you can track a pattern, how it's going to manifest in your adult life, because you know that wound is still there. It just may not look like that anymore because you're not that person anymore.
Right.
You've evolved into someone new. But it's just, we all carry a little ache. The Aries one is a hard one, Jasmine. AC, you're Taurus Chiron over there.
Taurus Chiron, Taurus Moon. Welcome to my life.
There's usually some type of trauma that happens with the body. Can you tell us about that?
I mean, I was burned when I was a kid. So that happened when I was very,
what
very
happened?
Young. Well, I have a physical wound. Of course, I wasn't listening. I'm an only child. My mom was making me tea and she said, don't move. I'm going to get some ice to put in the tea. And of course, I moved and I went to reach for the tea. The whole cup fell on me and all she felt was me hit her because she was not facing me. She was facing the freezer. And from the time that it started to the time that I got to the hospital, went from a first degree to a third degree burn. And so I was in a hospital for, it felt like 4 months, but it was only for like 2 months, I think. For 2 months, like a month and a half or 2 months, one or the other. It was a long time. And so I have a skin graft. So the burn that people see is actually my butt is on my arm. So that's my a little piece of my booty on my arm, and I have a patch on my butt from that. But I mean, for me, the hardest part is, you know, that's what my purpose is, you know, I want to help others, you know, figure out where and why they belong, because for me, being seen was always very hard.
Of course.
With that. And, you know, like, you know, children are special people. You know, so being called names.
Yeah, children are special. They can be fucking dicks too, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, let's just call it what it is. Yeah.
Children are assholes.
Kids are beautiful and they also can be assholes. Yeah. I love kids, everybody.
Yes. So, you know, being made fun of, or, you know, I probably until I was probably up until 12, 13, I mean, it could be sweltering hot. Sweltering. And I would have on a jacket. Like, I wouldn't show my arms for a long time. I mean, my prom was probably really pivotal because I wore I wore a sleeveless kind of dress. And so that was really a big deal. Well, no, I had straps, but you could see my arms and you could see my burn on my arm. So that was kind of, that was probably the hardest thing and so weird because I not that I forget about it, but since it doesn't affect me as much, I do forget. Like, sometimes I'll look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, what's that? It's my burn, like, duh.
That was powerful when you shared that on Instagram. You like showed a picture of yourself and I was like, what? And I'm reading it. You're like, some people don't know this about me. I'm a burn victim. And you can see your scars on your arm. And it was literally the most beautiful thing I think you've shared to date.
Oh, thank you.
It was like, you're stunning in it. You're powerful in it. You're like owning your body. It was like very, very impactful to witness that, AC.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's, I mean, my wounds are there. My wounds, I have so many wounds. We need a whole episode. I have so many wounds, so many. I think, yeah, just so that's a wound. There's just so many. There's just so many.
What I've witnessed the most with a Taurus, a Chiron and Taurus, is this, the wound is change. Any type of change. It's like, it could be very anxiety inducing. There's usually something that happens in the childhood where there was some type of change, could be absolutely anything, but it teaches the individual that change is for some reason scary. And the and going forward in the future, anytime there's a change that needs to be made, it kind of create this pattern of
I would say for me, I do have a hard time stopping to do things or releasing stuff. Yeah. Because change, and then me being psychic also plays a huge part. Because of how many things have happened to me that I've either predicted or that I knew were coming, I try my best to keep everything in line because of the way it feels of when things fall apart. So when things fall apart, they're actually not as bad as they are, and I recover, but the feeling of it psychically, energetically, and then with the moon in Taurus and your security being shaken, and then at my, you know, Chiron's and that's a lot for me. That's a lot. It's a big, so when you see changes, it's almost like my body almost goes into kind of like panic mode. Like it goes into its own panic room. And so that is what I experience with having both of those there. And they're in the same house.
How do you think, because we just kind of talked about that, you know, Chiron is a wound as a child, but then we evolve and that wound evolves too. How do you think that wound plays out in your adult life now?
It plays out. I don't like the way it plays out at all. Just because it makes me fearful at times that I shouldn't be, especially where I'm at right now in my life. It makes me more fearful than I need to be, if that makes sense.
For sure.
At times, not all the time, but just sometimes. Sometimes it makes me like, God damn it, I'm here again, or this just feels uncomfortable, or you know, how did I put myself back into the situation, or those kind of things. And then I just, you know, I let it go, and then I process it and I move on.
I think the most powerful thing to have this awareness when it comes to Chiron and to know what your Chiron is when you're able to recognize I'm acting from my wound right now. And I don't need to do that anymore. I have the awareness to recognize when I'm acting from my wound, and I can choose to not act from it. So in Rachel's case, I can choose to speak right now. AC's case, I can choose to change right now. You know?
Yeah.
But recognizing when you notice it, because that's the biggest thing we don't see when we're in our wound. We don't, like, we're so caught up in the feeling of it and the familiarity and the fear of it that we just act from it. And I really feel we're evolving past that. We can choose now to what this work is, I think, is noticing when you're acting from your wound and consciously choosing to do something different or to do otherwise.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is like maybe the hardest thing in life. Maybe they're in a second life. Yeah.
And I think for me being having a Taurus Chiron, when it comes to security and things like that, and then my moon being in Taurus, sometimes it is very, it's like, it makes you frozen at times.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think just journeying and growing through that has probably been the most, I don't want to say challenging, the most educational thing about myself. I would say for Taurus, anybody who's a Taurus Chiron, it's really, mindset is super duper important. And even for a Taurus moon, like, it's super duper important. It's super duper important.
My Chiron is in Cancer. And I find this to be ironic as somebody who's been so touched by Cancer, the disease, in her life. My dad died of cancer when I was a kid. I nearly died of cancer. Everybody I know has died of cancer. Well, not everybody, obviously, but it's been a lot. I remember when I went to college and met new friends, they had never met anybody who had had cancer before. And I was like, what? I could list you like 100 people right now. I've been so touched by it. And there was a period of my life where I was, Jasmine, a bit of a spectacle, because I was the cancer survivor and everybody introduced me as, this is Vanessa, she said cancer. And I really hated that. And so I had to reclaim that. And so I kind of took the power back with that. And I started talking about my cancer. And it didn't feel like everybody was like making a show of me anymore. And then I got into motivational speaking with cancer survivors, specifically youth in cancer. I would go speak in kind of gymnasiums to kids about it and about health and listening to their bodies. And it healed that kind of aspect of it. So that was like the irony, I guess, in my cancer wound. But cancer is a wound to the mother. And my wound with my mother was that her life was so hard. So I thought that's what it meant to be a woman, was to have this really hard life. And now, and I, you know, having my own child and seeing, you kind of forget that, well, as a kid, you aren't aware that you're growing up and you're growing up with your parents. Your parents are also still growing up. Like they are accumulating their own wisdom as they go. And then when I became a parent, to realize that it's really softened a lot with my mom. And it's not necessarily that we had like a tough time toward each other, but just that life in and of itself was tough. And she was the only parent. She was trying to do all the things. She almost lost the house because there was an insurance problem. You know, it was just everything and her business, and it was just everything. And it was, that was my impression of what womanhood was. And the other side of the cancer in Chiron is that you don't love yourself. You intellectually know you should. And yet, and I can spot a Chiron in Cancer a mile away. I can spot those people, you know, we're doing these things. And then for some reason, you've got this little inner narrative that puts you down a lot. And that's because, you know, the home, cancer is the shell, safety. There was something that happened in the childhood, whether we remember it or conscious of it or not, that happened to really jar and make the child, the childhood scary and upsetting, where you don't feel safe. And so if you grow up never feeling safe, you don't really feel safe in yourself. And it manifests as you don't love yourself. No matter what kind of affirmations or self-love, any of these types of things that you do, there's always this little ee-ee-ee in the back that's like either talking to you in a way that is, I guess, hard or challenging. But it's a doozy of a wound because, so you kind of think, so my whole life I'm not going to love myself? No, I mean, there's, again, you love yourself, but then it will unfold in another way. And that's why it's so interesting to look back at what happened in each of our childhoods and then think, okay, well, how is this expressing in my life now as an adult? And it's different for everybody. But then, you know, now again, sorry, coming from the mother wound, as a mother, looking at my kids, Chiron, oh my God, well, that's just, Jasmine, got to do this for your kids and witness, okay, this is where they're going to struggle. My son's Chiron's in Pisces, so he doesn't believe in himself. Well, what can I do as the mother to know that this is a wound he's going to carry, to know that he doesn't know what he believes in, he doesn't know what he has faith in, and he doesn't believe in himself. So what can I do to be supporting, you know, had I had that, had someone aware of that when I was a kid? Wow. I don't know, you know, to be held that way. So I think this information is so valuable to give to the next generation like that, but we have to know it to be able to create those new, this is just a new language to use to be able to talk to each other. And understand each other more intimately, I guess.
Hey, it's AC, and we want to hear from you. Send your questions to connect@eachotherpodcast.com, and we'll address your questions in a future episode.